story. Hey there. Welcome to Tell Me a True Crime Story podcast. I'm your host, Holly. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I am truly grateful that you are here. Happy New Year, and I hope that you had a joyous holiday season. If the holiday season is a difficult time for you, which I know it is for many, it was for me this past holiday season, I'm very sorry, and I'm thinking about you and keeping you close to my heart. Like I said, it was a really rough time for me this year, and it was the first time for me that the holidays had been so tough. So it was a new thing for me to go through and to deal with and to get through. So just know that if you're still going through it, there's hope out there, and just reach out, find out where to get there's help out there is what I meant to say. And there's definitely hope, and it's not hopeless like it feels, and you will get better. It just takes time. Reach out, get the help. And if you don't know where to get the help, just ask somebody or call the crisis hotline in your area. Or you can even email me and I can help you. My email is hollystellmepodcast@gmail.com. Yes, just get help. It will get better. It takes time. And big, big hugs to all of you guys who are listening. Please follow this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. My username on all of those is at Tell Me a True Crime Story. And this is the time where I bug you and I ask you for written reviews on Apple and for ratings on Spotify. Thank you for your awesome reviews on Apple and for the 5-star ratings on Spotify. If you've done that favor for me already, it is a free and tremendously helpful way that you can support me and what I do here. And yeah, so if you haven't done that yet and you enjoy the podcast, please take a minute and go do that for me. Go, go. Thanks a ton, and great big hugs to each and every one of you that are listening. This is part 2. So if you haven't listened to part 1, please go back and listen to that one first. And we can get into this episode now. Now, let me tell you a true crime story. This is where we left off in part 1. A clandestine gravesite had been discovered at the Buena Vista iron mine. Troy Driver had been at that mine to accept the delivery of an excavator in February of 2022, a month before Naomi's abduction. Naomi's naked body was recovered from that grave, buried about 4 to 5 feet deep. There were excavator shovel marks within the grave indicating that it had been dug with the machine. Also at the gravesite were excavator track marks and tire impressions from Naomi's car and from the original tires that had been on Troy Driver's Chevy truck before he'd had them replaced. I also told you about the DNA results taken from biological evidence collected during Naomi's autopsy and of the charges that were brought against Troy Driver. Now, let's pick up from there. Investigators found that Troy Driver was in a serious dating relationship with a woman, and they lived together. His girlfriend cooperated with investigators and provided them with crucial information in this case. She also provided them with valuable insight into Troy Driver's mindset and habits. She told investigators that he was infatuated with serial killers and he was constantly reading books and listening to podcasts about them. She said he'd recently been questioning her daughter about the shuttle bus that picks up workers at the Walmart in Fernley and transports them to work at Panasonic and Tesla. He asked her daughter things like how many people rode the bus and the locations of the stops that the bus made. Troy Driver's girlfriend also told investigators that he'd gone solo camping the weekend of March 12, 2022. She said he'd left the house on the evening of Friday, March 11th, and had returned the next night. She reported that he did not take his cell phones with him on this camping trip, which she said was the norm for him when he goes solo camping. Troy Driver's girlfriend and LeadCorp, the company he worked for, were both able to confirm for detectives that he had been operating an excavator at the Buena Vista iron mine on February 14, 2022, a month before the kidnapping and murder of Naomi. His girlfriend provided a picture of the excavator at the iron mine that he'd texted to her that day. Troy Driver had been using the excavator to dig sample holes on the southern boundary of the mine, but the investigation uncovered that after the other employees that had been working at the mine site left that day, he used the machine to dig a grave on the north side of the mine, a long distance away from the sample holes. Again, this was 1 month before Naomi was abducted and murdered. Authorities said in a press conference in mid-August of 2023 that this gravesite was, quote, dug with absolute premeditation, end quote. The investigation into the abduction, rape, and murder of Naomi Irion did not reveal any connection between Troy Driver and Naomi. Instead, it showed that on March 11th and March 12th of 2022, Troy Driver prepared for and hunted a random victim to rape and murder. He had the location of the kill site in mind, which was the abandoned mine, and a pre-dug grave ready to go. Detectives believe that he left his home on the evening of March 11th and drove his truck to the Buena Vista iron mine to ensure the mine was still abandoned and to make final preparations. Because he'd recently worked there, he knew the combination to the locked gate, which gave him access to the site. After making those final preparations, as Friday night, March 11th, stretched into the early morning hours of Saturday, March 12th, Troy Driver made his way to the Fernley Walmart, which was his chosen kidnapping location. Detectives believe that he chose this location because it was dark and secluded, and there was a high probability of finding a young woman by herself in a vehicle there. When he parked his truck in the dirt lot near the Walmart parking lot, it was 4:22 a.m. He then waited and watched. Detectives theorized he observed Naomi arrive in the Walmart parking lot and saw that she was young and alone. He stalked her for a few minutes, then approached her car on the driver's side and likely brandished a gun to quickly gain control of Naomi. He made her scoot over to the passenger seat and he drove her out of the Walmart parking lot. Shortly after that, Troy Driver broke or somehow disabled her cell phone because her cell phone was never used again after 5:23 a.m. He then drove Naomi in her car to the Buena Vista iron mine, which was about a two-hour drive from Walmart, where he raped, murdered, and buried her. Troy Driver then burned all of the clothes that Naomi had been wearing, along with some of his clothing and other physical evidence. He returned to Fernley in Naomi's car and abandoned it just a half a mile away from Walmart in the dirt lot between the Lowe's and the Sherwin-Williams paint factory before walking back to his truck that he'd left in the dirt parking lot by Walmart. On March 25, 2022, Troy Driver was arrested and booked into the Lyon County Jail in Yerington, Nevada. On March 31, 2022, a mental health assessment team made contact with him and he refused their services. Almost 5 months later, in August of 2022, Troy Driver had a fellow inmate who got released sneak a suicide/confession letter out of the jail in a deck of playing cards and hand deliver it to his now ex-girlfriend. In the letter, Troy Driver told her that nothing he did was sexually motivated. Some other things he said in the letter were that there had always been a terrible darkness inside of him. He intended on killing himself rather than exposing his loved ones to what he'd done. The guilt he felt was crushing. Troy Driver's girlfriend immediately turned the letter over to authorities, who then placed him on suicide watch. On August 18, 2022, Troy Driver met with the psychiatric nurse, and he adamantly denied being suicidal. He admitted to writing the letter, but he said he wanted to be housed in a normal cell in the maximum security housing unit. The next day, he again met with the psychiatric nurse, and he again denied being suicidal. The nurse moved him from mental health observation and discharged him into the maximum security housing unit of the Lyon County Jail. On August 20th, 2022, Troy Driver attempted suicide. So this was just 2 days later that he attempted suicide. He met with the psychiatric nurse. He denied being suicidal. And then he was moved into the maximum security housing unit out of the moved from the mental health observation and discharged into the maximum security housing unit. So then, like the next day, he attempted suicide. He said he was overcome with guilt due to his family having to deal with his incarceration. And 2 days later, though, he told the psychiatric nurse that he was not suicidal. So on August 23rd, 2022, just a few days later, an outside psychiatric doctor saw Troy Driver and reported that he was stable. Then a couple days later, on August 25th, 2022, Troy Driver met with the psychiatric nurse who discontinued his suicide watch. However, 2 days later, he was placed in an isolation cell under mental health observation and constant video surveillance. So a few days later, on September 2nd, 2022, or like a week later, on September 2nd, 2022, Troy Driver met with nursing staff who labeled him as stable and reported him as doing better and no longer needing to meet with medical staff. Troy Driver told the medical staff that he wanted out of isolation. A week after that, on September 9th, 2022, the psychiatric nurse met with Troy Driver, who said he was experiencing sleep deprivation due to deputies constantly checking up on him in his cell. At that time, he refused to take any psychiatric medications. On October 5th, so the next month, Troy Driver, October 5th, 2022, Troy Driver was still in an isolation cell and he denied being suicidal. He stated he wanted to return to the maximum security housing unit, and the next day he was returned there. 10 days later, Troy Driver was seen by a psychiatric doctor for a mental health appointment. After that, he had multiple meetings with medical staff until his next suicide attempt about 5 months later on March 7th of 2023. He was treated for lacerations on his wrist. He had appointments on March 9th and March 10th with medical staff. On March 11th, 2023, he met with the psychiatric nurse. At that time, he stated that he hadn't attempted to commit suicide. He'd just fallen on a shampoo bottle. He was placed on a mental health watch again and returned to an isolation cell. The next month, on April 9th, 2023, Troy Driver requested to see the psychiatric nurse. He told her that he was not suicidal, and she reported that his mood was stable. However, he remained in isolation. On April 20th, 2023, Troy Driver expressed frustration with being in isolation, and he denied being suicidal. He again made the claim that he was sleep deprived from being checked on so often by deputies. During that month, April of 2023, Troy Driver was seen by medical staff on 7 other occasions with nothing remarkable to report. On May 4th and May 6th, Troy Driver was seen by medical staff. He was reported as being healthy and working out daily. On June 1st, 2023, Troy Driver met with medical staff and there was nothing remarkable to report. On June 3rd, 2023, Troy Driver met with the psychiatric nurse and was discharged from his isolation cell. The next day, he was returned to the maximum security housing unit. Between June 4th and August 6th, he showed no signs of being in a depressed state, having suicidal intentions, or that he was experiencing a mental health crisis. On August 6, 2023, at 5:22 p.m., Lyon County Detention deputies completed a check of the maximum security cell block where Troy Driver was housed. At that time, Troy Driver was in his cell drinking water. At 6:17 p.m., so nearly an hour later, Lyon County detention deputies began cell checks again in the maximum security housing unit and discovered Troy Driver hanging in his cell. Detention staff cut him down and performed CPR on him until medical personnel arrived from the Mason Valley Fire Department at approximately 6:33 p.m. and took over life-saving measures. Troy Driver could not be revived, and he was pronounced dead at 6:49 p.m. That evening, District Attorney Steve Ryan spoke to Naomi's older brother, Casey Valley, to inform him that Troy Driver had killed himself. Just as Troy Driver had carefully planned the murder of a random young woman, he'd carefully planned his suicide. Authorities said in a press conference that he'd demonstrated careful planning of his suicide because they discovered that he kept meticulous notes on the day-to-day activities within the jail so that he would be able to complete the act within the narrow window of time that he was not observed by jail staff. In putting together the facts of this case, I relied heavily on the detailed synopsis and timeline of Naomi's murder investigation that was provided by authorities in a press conference in August of 2023, a week or so after Troy Driver's suicide. Authorities stated that Naomi's body was recovered from a location that Troy Driver had access to, and after reviewing the totality of the evidence, they are confident that Troy Driver acted alone and that he is the person responsible for the rape and murder of Naomi Irion. Sheriff Brad Pope described the evidence against Troy Driver as insurmountable. Authorities stated in that press conference that his suicide was not the closure that Naomi's family deserved or what law enforcement wanted, and they didn't want the truth of his guilt to die with his suicide. They created the detailed synopsis and visual presentation to present at the press conference in an effort to convey transparency with regard to the investigation and to bring a sense of closure to Naomi's family so that the family could begin to heal and deal with their tremendous loss. Naomi Christine Irion was born in Houston, Texas on July 25, 2003. Naomi was one of seven kids born to her mom, Diana Irion. Diana describes Naomi as her miracle baby. She said she'd helped to heal their family by bringing back their joy and laughter. You see, her mom had lost a baby the year before Naomi was born. Diana said Naomi was also the glue that joined their blended family together. Diana, Naomi's mom, also said that Naomi cared deeply about others and the underprivileged. She wanted to make the world a better place. She helped those that were weaker than her. She spoke out against injustice. She was a bright light to all around her. Naomi loved rainbows. She enjoyed rock hounding. She liked hanging out with her friends and scrolling on some of her favorite apps, such as TikTok and Instagram. In the previous episode, part one of this story, I told you about a GoFundMe that had been set up in this case. Initially, it had been established to help Naomi's family members pay for travel to Nevada from where they lived in South Africa and Texas. Well, the GoFundMe received 600 donations totaling over $48,000. When it turned out that Naomi was no longer with us, the funds went to cover the cost of her memorial. The year before her murder, Naomi had attended her senior gala along with her classmates in order to celebrate their graduation. Well, before the important occasion, she had to find a dress to wear to the formal event. Because of her size, a store clerk said Naomi's only option was to have one custom made. So Naomi chose a silky, dark blue, floor-length dress with sequins and spaghetti straps. When the dress was ready, Naomi and her mom went to pick it up. It was sparkly and stunning. Naomi tried it on and looked in the mirror. She covered her face with her hands as her shoulders shook. When her mom asked her what was wrong, Naomi let her hands down and said, quote, "I feel beautiful for the first time in my life," end quote. On April 12, 2022, Naomi Christine Irion was buried in that dress. Diana, Naomi's mom, has a YouTube channel called The Wandering Sewist. There, she has a beautiful tribute video to her daughter, Naomi. I'm going to read you a Facebook post that was made by Casey Valley, Naomi's older brother that she lived with in Nevada. This post was made on April 1st of 2022, a few days after Naomi's body had been discovered. Quote, "The reason we wanted to push the Trust the Family hashtag is because I called in Naomi as a missing person Sunday 3/13 at approximately 9:30 p.m. The deputy never came. He only called me at 11:23 p.m. He filed no missing persons report until 3:14 at around 9 p.m. after I went and found that footage myself. I wasn't alone doing that. My girlfriend was with me and urged me to go. Naomi's car wasn't found until 36 hours after I made the initial call, and it was under a half a mile away in clear view of the interstate. I cannot stress enough how important the handling of this case was in the beginning for my sister's life. If this deputy had followed the Lyon County Sheriff's Office procedure, as he is sworn to do, a BOLO, be on the lookout, and a missing persons report would have been filed as soon as I had called on that Sunday. But he didn't, because he didn't hashtag trust the family," end quote. The footage he's referring to in that Facebook post is the surveillance footage that became critical in this case, the video that shows Naomi's abduction from the Walmart parking lot. When Naomi didn't come home, Casey Valley went to Walmart and spoke with their security there. They viewed the Walmart security footage, and sadly, he had to witness Troy Driver entering his little sister's car and taking her away. About that video, Casey said, quote, "It ruined me. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. You know, I didn't want to believe it," end quote. He said it was sickening, his heart leaped out of his chest, and his blood ran cold. Everyone in the true crime community, and especially law enforcement, knows that a timely response is critical in a missing person's investigation, particularly when the missing person is a young woman and the primary motive is most likely sexual assault. The initial hours are crucial because statistics tell us that most young victims kidnapped by a stranger are murdered within 3 hours, and within 24 hours, almost 90% have been murdered. So the family is promoting the hashtag Trust the Family to emphasize how important it is for authorities to listen to the family members of a missing person. They know what is normal and what is out of the norm for their family member. Many of us sit in parking lots in our parked cars and eat or put on makeup or do something on our phones, whether it's playing a game or texting someone or reading something online. Maybe we're waiting on a store to open. Maybe we're finishing up an important phone call. Maybe your kid is at a sports practice and you're waiting on them to get done. We all do it for different reasons, but we all do it. We sit in our cars and in parking lots and we do stuff and we're not paying attention and we're wrapped up in what we're doing. As I've said many times before, there's something to be learned from every true crime story. So I urge you, when you're sitting in your car, stay vigilant of your surroundings. Keep all of your doors locked and do not open them for anyone you do not know for any reason. Even if they brandish a gun, it's better to take your chances and take the time to shift your car into drive and hit the gas than to open the door and allow them access to you or your vehicle. And most likely they will not fire their gun at you because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. Naomi's mom said that she was the type to freeze up in the face of danger, and there are many people out there, I'm sure, that react the same way. When they get scared, they can't think or move. They're like paralyzed, and that's okay. It's normal. Anytime any of us are facing danger or a potentially life-threatening situation, your mind has to have time to decide how to react to the situation, whether it be fight or flight. If this happens to you, don't panic. Take a deep breath. You won't stay paralyzed or stuck for long. Decide on a course of action and make your move. Preparing yourself for different scenarios ahead of time might give you an edge, especially if you are the type that freezes up. So every time you hear a true crime story, put yourself in the victim's shoes. In your mind, put yourself in that situation and think of what you would do to escape or survive. If you've already decided what you would do in a certain situation, then you find yourself in a similar situation, you might be able to react more quickly. I noticed something during my research that I wanted to mention. In a mugshot of Troy Driver from years ago, his ears were normal, like unremarkable. But in mugshots from 2022, he's missing half of his left ear. I wonder if it happened in a workplace accident or something more sinister. It crossed my mind that maybe someone bit his ear off in self-defense. Like, did he attack someone and that victim bit his ear? I looked and looked online and could not find anything about how he lost a big chunk of his left ear. If you guys happen to find out what happened to it, please, like, let me know. Another thing that gave me pause, remember this earlier in the story, I said that Troy Driver's girlfriend told police that he'd left on Friday night, March 11th, the night before Naomi was taken. She said he'd told her that he was going solo camping and that he'd left his cell phones behind. She said that that was normal behavior for him not to take his cell phones with him when he went camping. That gave me chills and made me think, are there other victims out there? I mean, you would think that if you go camping by yourself, you would take your cell phone with you just in case something happened and you needed to summon help. If you want to be like connected to nature and while camping and disconnect from your cell phone, like I totally get that. That's plausible, but it seems like you would still take it with you just in the case of an emergency. What if your car broke down or something? I mean, you could just leave it off and keep it in your vehicle or in your bag just in case. So he went, quote unquote, solo camping before in the past and left his cell phones behind. That's really creepy. Like, what do you guys think? Thank you so much, you guys, for listening to this episode of Tell Me a True Crime Story. Please follow this podcast on social media at Tell Me a True Crime Story on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And I have a couple of ways you can support the podcast. You can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/truecrimestorypod. They call it Buy Me a Coffee, but I don't even drink coffee. It's just a way to show your appreciation and send a tip. And the other way you can support the podcast is totally free. You can submit a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can write a short but sweet 5-star review on Apple or give it a 5-star rating on Spotify. Thank you again for being here. I love you guys lots. I hope that you and your family are happy, healthy, and together forever. Please join me in the next episode when I'll tell you another true crime story. Big, big hugs to each and every one of you. Bye-bye.